Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends. We are studying together the Gospel of John, amazing Gospel, the Gospel of John that present before us the person of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in his divine personality. This is so encouraging to know as we study the Gospel of John. We are right in the middle of the 17th chapter, and we will continue with the Lord's help in this ministry meeting to follow the prayer of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, when he was on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. John chapter 17. We have covered already, beloved brothers and sisters, the first 12 verses of this chapter, which is entirely present before us this prayer that the man, Yeshua, Jesus, was praying, communicating with God the Father. We have learned in the first 12 verses that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was praying, first of all, for himself in verses 1 to 5. Then, in verses 6 on to verse 12, he continued to pray for that God's people will know God the Father, to know the Father's name, Abba in Hebrew, Abba, our Father. And as we continue in the study of John chapter 17, from verse 13 to verse 26, we will learn additional two requests that Yeshua had from his Father on behalf of his people, namely that God's people will be sanctified, that God will sanctify his people through his word, and ultimately Yeshua prayed that God's people will be soon and very soon will share in his glory and be with him in glory. So while it is a prayer, there are so many lessons that we can learn from this amazing prayer that the Spirit of God allow us to enter into the prayers of the Lord Jesus the Messiah on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Gatshmanim. There he will be captured, taken to the high priest, ultimately to Pilate, and Pilate will hand him to be crucified, and there he will die on a Roman cross for the sin of this world. So as we continue on, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to continue from verse 13. John 17 and verse 13, Yeshua continued in his prayer and he said, "And now come I to thee, and these things I spake in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name. And I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, and dear friend, in the study of this amazing prayer of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who lifted up his eyes unto heaven, as we read in John 17, verse 1, in the beginning of the prayer, and he said, Abba, Abba, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua, after his ending the time in the upper room with the disciples, keeping the Passover, Pesach, introducing the new covenant in his blood, as we would call it, the remembrance of his shed of blood and his giving of his body, and now on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, we hear this amazing prayer of Yeshua the Messiah speaking with his Father. And we have already mentioned earlier that in this prayer that is found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, these 26 verses, we see the truth concerning the desire of the heart of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, on behalf of his people. And so he is praying, first of all for himself, then praying that God's people will know the name of God the Father, the Abba. Thirdly, he pray that God's people will be sanctified through God's word. And fourthly, he prayed that God's people will share in his glory. And so, in the first 12 verses, we have already learned that Yeshua prayed for himself. And you remember this statement, that is an essential statement to understand. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom thou hast sent. To know God, to have eternal life, must be based upon the knowledge of God, not only the knowledge about God, but to have a knowledge, spiritual, intimate knowledge with God. Therefore, to know God is not only to know him in one's head and mind, but to know him by faith in trusting him and trusting the Messiah, the Son whom thou hast sent, Jesus, the Messiah whom God the Father sent. And so he prayed, Yeshua prayed for himself. He prayed that the Father's name will be declared to the believers, to the disciples, that they will know that wonderful, intimate relationship with God the Father. That's why we read in verse 6, I manifested thy name. verse 6. A little bit later on, in verse 12, we read, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." The name here in the context of John chapter 17, in the prayer of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is to know God as Abba, as a father. We have seen that the apostles later on, the apostle Shaul Paul, expound on this in the epistles when he said that the believers can cry, "Abba, our Father, Abba, our Father." And we as believers can call God our Abba as we cry to him. And in every situation, in every need, the believer can call God Abba. Now, as Yeshua continued to pray, listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters. We divide it into sections, but the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, had this one prayer, communicating with his Father. We learn from that, but you can see the intimate relationship which he is the eternal Son of God, but also now the Son of God in his humanity. He is now speaking to his Father, to his Abba, and this intimate prayer. But what does he do here? He prays on behalf of all those that become believers in him, that trusted that he was indeed the Redeemer, the Savior, the Mashiach, the Messiah. And so in verse 13, we learn the third request that the Lord Jesus had from his Father. Yeshua prayed that God will sanctify God's people through his word. And so verse 13, Yeshua prayed that his joy will be among and in God's people. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them." Notice this. To have my joy, Yeshua wants the believers in him that we will all have his joy. Remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that the joy of the Lord, as Ezra had to tell our people of Israel of old, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. When God's people, whether it is historically Israel or whether it is today the believers in the Messiah, the assembly, the church, the joy that God's people can have is only when they are occupied with him. To remind you, that expression, that they might have my joy in them fulfilled in themselves, it simply means that the Lord wants us in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of trials, to have the joy of the Lord. Joy does not depend upon circumstances, but joy depends upon a relationship that is found with a God who loved us and with a Savior who provided himself for us. In chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, the early Hebrew believers had to learn this lesson for themselves. "Wherefore, the apostle said to them, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and a finisher of our faith," or of faith, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, the Hebrew writer have encouraged these early Hebrew believers in Yeshua the Messiah by telling them, looking unto Yeshua. As we look to him, Yeshua is praying here, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What is the joy of Yeshua, of Jesus the Messiah, that he was praying for? The joy of providing redemption, the joy of accomplishing salvation, the joy of fulfilling all that which the Hebrew writers wrote years ago by divine inspiration concerning the coming of the Redeemer, the coming of the Mashiach, the joy that was set before the Lord What was the joy that was said before Yeshua the Messiah? Is that he will have people that will be forgiven, redeemed, restored to God. So he wants that the believers who follow him will have the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Messiah in them fulfilled. And he continues in verse 14 and verse 15. Yeshua continued and he said in verse 14, I have given them thy word. This is so beautiful. I have given them thy word. That expression here, I have given to them thy word. When the Lord was upon the face of this earth, he shared with the disciples God's word. I have given to them thy word. The word is logos. To remind you, that in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, the logos. This is the Greek word logos. In Hebrew, the word is mimra. Mimra simply means God's word, but not only God's word in what God says, not only God's saying, but it's God's word that is expressed in the person of the Messiah himself. So the word here is logos. I have given them thy logos, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In other words, there was an opposition that the believers have experienced when they have trusted in the Lord. So when you think about this word for logos, it has to do really the utterances of God, but is a living voice. It is God who is a living person. It is more than even just the saying of God and the decree of God and the precepts of God and that which was given by God. But also it is very interesting because in John 1:1, this word is presented before us in the person of the Messiah himself. It's God teaching, God's instruction. God is providing for us his laws, his word, his matters, all that which comes from God that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, revealed to the disciples. And so, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, in anticipation, the world, to remind you that when Yeshua lived here on earth, he lived among his people of Israel, in the land of Israel. He limited himself in his walk here among his people Israel. But now we can see that this opposition and hatred to those that follow him will come from all over the world. That's why you find many times the word world mentioned here in the 17th chapter. Verse 5, I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6, thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world. And once again in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, all true believers in the Lord Jesus the Messiah, all of them are people that are out of this world. They do not belong to this world. We who belong to the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, belong to him, belong to God. As Yeshua said, the world hates them because they are not of the world. So, in reality, you see, we learn here that the Lord Jesus the Messiah is anticipating now. He's being rejected by the world. Israel, the nation, will not accept him at his first coming as a nation, though the many and all the early believers of the church were Israelis, Jews, who gave the gospel to the world, but he knew very well that the world would not accept him and that he will build what is known for us today, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And all those who will trust in him and become children of God will belong to the assembly, the church, the ecclesia. And the assembly is a heavenly company. That's why in Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said to Shimon Petros, I will build the church, the ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. To do anything against the assembly, they will not prevail against the assembly. Why? Because he will be building this assembly, and he will be building this assembly once he will die, will be buried, will rise again, will be ascended to heaven, will send the Holy Spirit of God to earth, and then and there on the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Shavuot, the Pentecost, that's where the assembly, the church, had began. And so from there on, all true believers became part of the heavenly company, and we are only passing through this world, but heaven is our home. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, in my Father's house, where I am, there ye may be also. Wonderful truth to know. And so you notice this now in verse 15, we read, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil or the evil one. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, these are very important lessons to learn, because the world here, even though we are not of this world, even though the true believers are not of this world, for one reason or another, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah prayed that the believers should not be taken out of the world, but that they should be kept by God the Father in the world until the time will come and God will come to take us to be with him in heaven. This will be at the rapture of the church, where the true church, the true assembly, the true kehila in Hebrew, will be raptured and taken out of this world. And so it is so interesting that Yeshua is praying in such a manner in verses 14 and verse 15. We have a verse in 1 John chapter 3, and we read these words, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. In other words, the Lord, through the apostle, teaching the believers that the believers are really belong to the Lord. Don't marvel when the world hates you, because the world hates those that belong to God. In 1 John 4, 4 and 5, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But to the believers he said, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome this world. Greater is he that is in you, this is the Holy Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. In fact, in the earlier chapter, in 1 John chapter 2, the apostle John said that the believers are called not to love the world and its system, to love men in the world, to love people in the world, as God loves the human race, but not to love a system that is against God. That's why we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. So, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is praying that God's people will be sanctified through God's word in a world that is opposing God's people. That's why he continued in his prayer. And in verse 16, we clearly see they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, the believer in Jesus, in Yeshua the Messiah, is really not belong to this world. We read in verse 19 of 1 John 5, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, or the wicked one. And indeed, Satan is that wicked one. That's why in verse 15, the Lord prayed that God the Father will keep the believer from that evil one. And the evil one is none else but Satan himself, who is the God with a small g of this world, that has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of the Messiah should shine unto them. This is fascinating to understand, beloved brothers and sisters.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.